So, William Moore, first thing we're going to do is rewind the time a bit. You came from a small town in southeast Missouri, Hayti, right? 3,200 people, not much to do there. What was it like growing up in a place like that?
It's a very poverty-stricken place, man. There weren't many opportunities, but the best thing about it is it's a sports town, you know what I mean? You know, the town strive off the success of sports like any other small town, and everybody know each other. And, you know, it's a big family environment, man.
Good, strong community.
No doubt, no doubt.
Coming from a small town like that, humble beginnings, did that help you with your transition to a big city, to help keep you grounded a bit?
Definitely. I think that was the hugest transition ever, like from high school to college, man. I was on my own. And, you know, but I think I adapted well as a 19-year-old would as far as that situation, because I always, you know, kind of been on my own as far as growing up. And, you know, I matured as far as that standpoint more than anybody. I wasn't homesick or any, you know, when I left, I wasn't homesick. When I got to the University of Missouri, I was just ready to roll.
You were used to being independent.
Yeah, no doubt.
One thing that was interesting in studying the background of William Moore was that your mom thought something was wrong with you when you were little. You used to bang on things around the house when you were a little kid, and she thought maybe you had a hyperactive disorder of some sort. Takes you to the doctor. What was the diagnosis, and what was the result and outcome?
I'll never forget that day, man. I went and visited the doctor. You know, I sat down with the doctor. And, you know, you obviously got to have some intelligence to remember this. This was over 20 years ago almost. But the doctor sat down with me. He just picked my brain a little bit and, you know, asking me questions like who's the president at the time and, you know, what's 2 + 8 and all this. You know, it was kind of, it's hilarious now. But
you passed with flying colors.
Yeah, easy. And after that, he told my mom, nothing wrong with this guy. You know, he just, you know, a kid. But I used to beat on the desk. I love hip-hop, man. And I love music. I say that I love music. And I just was always energetic, man.
So did your mom do anything to help provide an outlet for you to let that love of music come out?
No doubt. I started with band. I was a choir director in my church. You know, I picked up on, you know, I sung a little bit. Everything. I tried it all, man. And I read music notes real good. Like I said, I stay active in the music, you know, business. And one day I just wanted to be a music producer.
And maybe one day you will.
Yeah, hope so.
You already are.
That's a tap.
Tell me, is it true, though, in high school football, at halftime, you take off your pads, you go down to the football field at halftime and play the trombone? Is that right?
Exactly. No, no, not the trombone, the tuba. The sousaphone. It's basically a tuba, but it's a little bigger.
You play the tuba at halftime of your high school football games.
If I went singing the Star Spangled Banner, I'd go down there and...
You can sing,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, I'd do it all, man.
Didn't rap it, you sang.
No, sing it. Actually sing it. That's exciting, man. Those were the days, man. I take my pads off, and it was a few other guys that did it. Man.
So true Renaissance, man.
Hey.
The more you can do, right?
Yeah, do it all, man.
Do what you love.
Yes.
That's fascinating. So, William, now we're going to go in between the lines. Talk a little bit about your football life. I want to get this right. Hayti High School, All-State honors as a receiver.
Yeah.
Cornerback, 74 receptions, 1,768 yards, and 34 touchdowns. Sounds like you can play receiver a little bit.
Yeah, I did. I did a little fly sweep in my days, quarterback, stuff like that. But I was one of those kids, like I said, small school, do it all. And I never forget when Coach walked up to me and said, Will, we got to get the ball in one of our best players' hands. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we got to do it. Right. So I still remember running quarterback and, you know, running back. Everything, no matter where you wanted to put me, that's where I was at.
God forbid something happens to 3, 4, 5 of our receivers on game day. Coach Smith calls your number. Can you get it done out
no
there,
doubt.
Receiver?
No doubt. I was just like Curry Beerman kicking the field goal. I can put me at the slot receiver. Let's go.
All right, so let's have fun with this. Flip the script a bit. Now, you're playing receiver. Roddy White has to cover you. Can he cover you?
Has no chance. Absolutely no chance. Seriously, absolutely no chance. I've lined up against Roddy in one-on-one before, and just his back pedal is not, it's not matching my vertical route, none. So, you know, I just turn my speed up just another notch when I'm running on receiver.
Matt Ryan, passing the rock. You hear that? Just lay it up. Let your athletes.
I'm your guy.
All right. Your song that you created was awesome. Yeah. I know you've created
War.
Many songs. War is incredible.
Thanks.
We're gonna touch on that a little later, because that's just so impressive. Because a lot of guys try to do it, but it's not really who they are.
Right.
You know? But we're gonna get into that later. The number 7 has a lot of power. It's a very meaningful number in the Bible. The 7 days of Genesis, the 7 seals of Revelation, in pop culture, the lucky number 7. Right. It's a powerful number. I noticed your number is 25. 2 + 5 = 7.
Mm-hmm.
But that number has meaning for you. There's a special reason why you wear that. Why is that number important to you?
I lost a soldier at war, you know? Mm-hmm. Like I said, on war, that's basically what I'm singing for. I lost a friend, most of all, in college, Aaron O'Neill. Mm-hmm. He was a great friend to me, great guy, great linebacker. We came in together as rookies, and, you know, I still remember like yesterday, he had dreams of being in the NFL also, a great linebacker, and we used to talk about the things that we was going to accomplish at Mizzou together, mm-hmm. and I never forget it, you know, and unfortunately, you know, his days was cut short, doing exactly what I'm doing right now, and it could have been me. That's the way I look at it. I'll never forget it, mm-hmm. and, you know, throughout my life, I promised his dad. I saw his dad. I said, I'm going to represent 25. As long as I'm playing football, I'm representing 25 and whatever I do. I got it tattooed on me, and, you know, this is for Aaron every time I go out and play, man.
You've faced a lot of adversity in the form of injury. You know, in college you were injured. When you first came to Atlanta, you were frustrated beyond belief because you were injured. You're really healthy now. Have you changed anything, the way you approach the game, your preparation to the game as you've become a bit older in this game?
Everything. I've a whole nother schedule from everything outside of football to inside of this facility. Number one, my personal life, you got to make sure that's correct, because I've learned stress is it don't help anything from being frustrated about it, you know. I take it home, you know. I take football home. And at the same time, I can't do that. I have to go home and, like I said, just spend time with my son and smile about it and just embrace life. And just come back to work and, you know, get better, continue to get better. I can't take this home, you know, as far as I can't control some things. And I learned that, you know, getting hurt, that's going to happen in this game. You just got to continue to get better and find, you know, the way to stay healthy.
When you talk about your personal life, have you felt a different energy about you now that when you are off the field and you're maybe not hanging around the same crowd that you used to and doing the same things you used to do a little less? You know, do you feel different energy and a different focus about you now?
Most definitely, man. I've got closer to the Word, you know, my faith. Mm-hmm. And I just, like I said, I looked at life in a different perspective now. You know, I'm growing up, maturing. I mean, I never tell anybody to, you know, try to mature too fast or, you know, enjoy your life and enjoy being young, you know. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I just look at things and I just take it for what it is and basically just live day by day. I don't worry about the future and worry about, you know, what happened in the past. I love coming out here, man. I enjoy coming to work. That's the good, best thing about it.
It's showing. It's showing on the football field, too. All right. Now we're going to go inside the mind. Growing up, you hung around the wrong crowd a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And your mom was concerned about you. She sent you to a boys' home.
Mm-hmm.
At what point did you realize something needs to change if I want to achieve my goals? And when you did come to that realization, was it difficult to make that decision to change your ways?
I had to mature early. You know, I still remember sleeping in cars and, you know, I went through a lot of things as a kid, you know, but it was all on my choices. You know, I made a lot of bad, wrong choices, I'll say.
Like we all do, right?
Yeah, correct. It's life. And, you know, if everybody knew how to make right and wrong decisions, I'm sure a lot of people prevent them. But at the same time, I was being a kid, you know. Mm-hmm. I was being a kid. Some of the things I did, I was just, you know, trying to fit in with this crowd, be cool here, you know. And those things came back to bite me. Basically, you know, a lot of things I did, I could have said, no, I'm not going to do those, but I did them because my friends did them.
Right.
But there's no excuse because I was the only one that went to the boys' home, you know. So being in that boys' home, and that it taught me a lot. I was in there, I'd say, 10, 11 months at the time. And, you know, it was real tough, especially when, you know, your parents say they are going to come and visit on this day, everybody else's parents here. Then you get a phone call and they say they can't come. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it kind of crushes you because you're so far away from home, you're on your own. Mm-hmm. And it taught me a lot. So when I got out, I was just, you know, I had a different focus. Right. And one thing I always loved was sports. You know, I thought I was a basketball player at the time, but you know, when I was in there, I said, when I get out, I'm about to, you know, I want to play sports. I'm gonna try to do the right thing, and I took off from there. And the best thing about that experience, man, it gave me a testimony to give back to somebody because I've been in the same shoes you in. You know, there's nobody else to listen to. Just somebody that's been in the same position you've been in. I go back and speak to that facility now, and you know, I tell them kids. I was sitting in your same seats, you know, and now I'm in the NFL. Who would have thought? Mm-hmm. But I worked my tail off to get here, and the best thing about it is I went through a lot to get here, and it was, you know, it was my decision to do wrong. It's my decision to do right. So I enjoy every day. It's not hard to be successful. It's hard to maintain being successful. You know, you got to keep working every day. Like you said, injury. I can go down, knock on wood, I can go down, you know, right now. It'd be all over with. Mm-hmm. So that's why I embrace it. And at the same time, I be humble about it because I worked my tail off to get here. But at the same time, you know, it took a lot. Right. And I ain't do it myself. I had, you know, I created a lot of great peers and support from my family.
So the formula to success is simple. Everyone knows it.
Right.
But the truly successful are the ones who are willing to work hard and do
and maintain
that which others aren't willing.
Correct. Like you said, coming up in Haiti, a lot of guys had more talent than me. Seriously. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys had way more talent than me. I used to look at these guys and be like, man, he's going to play D1 football.
What happened to them?
Who knows? But
weren't focused?
I really don't know. It's hard to say. I just don't think they had that hunger at the time, you know?
The passion's important.
Yeah, and that's why I'm here today. I don't know if it's safe to say I'm thankful for going through those tough times and those, you know, those trials and tribulations. But that's what made me who I am. You know, I'm strong, and I take that every day. I'm strong. I'm a strong individual, man.
Because
that's one.
Of what you've been.
Yes, it's not much that can break me down. You know, but I'm still, like I said, I'm humble. And I still shed a tear every Sunday when I go out there on that football field. I cry before every game, and it's not intentionally. It's just, I don't know what it is. And when I talk to, you know, God about being thankful, it just brings something over me where I could be anywhere in the world, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But going out there in front of all those people on Sundays is huge, man. It's a feeling that every Sunday I feel it.
So if I were to come up with one phrase or quote that I've heard that I sense is William Moore, it would be, the strongest steel is burned in the hottest coals.
I like that.
Does that fit you?
I like that, man. Write that down for me. I like that. Yes.
We're now going to go inside the mind, rapid fire. You ready to have fun with this?
Let's do it.
All right. What's your favorite word?
Loyal.
What's a word that you hate?
Quit.
What's a sound or a noise that you love?
Crowd noise on Sundays.
Georgia Dome. Was it loud Monday night?
Rising up. It was. That little meter was moving on the jumbo
track. What is a sound or a noise that you hate?
Sound of pain. Someone hurting.
Not good. You love cars.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite car? Your own
69 old school Cutlass.
You have
convertible, you better believe it. Yep.
What's the car that you want really badly you don't have yet?
Bentley GT.
You knew him right away.
Yeah, Bentley GT.
Okay, you love music. You're a heck of a rapper. Hardest hitter in the NFL, you are, and on the tracks, in my humble opinion.
All right.
But who's your favorite musician other than yourself?
Tupac. Yep.
Favorite non-rapping musician?
Phil Collins.
In the air of the night.
Oh, I love that song, man. Get me ready every Sunday.
What's your favorite book?
The Bible.
All right, here we go. If you could trade places with one person for 1 week, alive or dead, real or fictional, with whom would it be?
Besides you, Barack Obama.
Barack?
Yeah.
You'd want to run this country?
Okay. I like it. He's a strong man, man.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
All right. So if an alien race came down right now and were about to abduct you and said, we're going to give for anything you want, in exchange for anything you want, come to our planet. We'll let you hold any position on our planet. What position would you want to hold? What would you want to be? What would you want to do? Anything.
Nothing. Actually nothing.
You just want to be
laid back and get fed grapes and a couple fans. You know? No.
Yeah, have the aliens.
The king, I guess.
The king.
The king.
The king of the aliens.
Yeah.
Love it. What is your power animal?
A lion.
Lion.
Chill. Back, chill until I smell fear. Then I attack.
Then you hunt.
Then I hunt.
All right. If there were a Hollywood movie that were to be made about you, who would you like to see the lead role played by?
I'll probably go with Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy. Okay. And who would be the woman of your affection in that movie?
You said Rihanna who? No.
Upset. All right. Now, if you could be a superhero, what would you want your one superpower to be?
Invisible. Yeah.
And if you could just cloak yourself right now, what would be the first thing that you would do? Would you go prank someone? Would you go?
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about pour some water on a few people's head and they wonder where it came from. But no, I'll probably just, I don't know, just be invisible.
You just like being low-key.
Low-key and watch TV.
And that's kind of how you are. I mean, yep. you're not the loudest speaking guy. You're not always out there in the public.
No.
You like to lay low.
That's it.
Like the lion.
Go to the grocery store, go to Walmart, grocery shop a little bit. Invisible. Yeah.
Like it. All right. Last one. Describe William Moore in 3 words.
War.
War, Willie Moe always ready. War, Willie Moe always ready.
Not three letters, but 3 words.
Willie Moe gonna run it back like Mike T. Set it up and I'ma kick it like Matt Brown.